This episode of East Me Sweats is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Backup your Mac or Mac PC or Mac offsite securely and automatically. For a free trial offer plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com and use the offer code EAST. That's EAST, and check out Carbonite. All right, we are now recording East Meets West, episode 204. I'm Roger Chang, and as you can see, Tom is not with me because he's enjoying the lovely Hawaiian vistas with his wife out in Hawaii. And I am joined today by Scott Johnson of Extra Life fame.
How you doing?
And good. And also joined by Aileen Gaspar over from ToyRake.com and October Toys. It's awesome.
Hey,
How are you doing? Good. Now, for people not familiar with Scott, you also do a couple of podcasts with Tom, Forecast and Geek Week.
Close. Current Geek Weekly, the one you were on Friday with me. Remember that?
Yes. Have I told you I had a terrible time with names?
Yes. No, that was a lot of fun, actually. I had a ball with you on there. But yeah, it's Forecast at ForecastPodcast.com and Current Geek, which is at CurrentGeek.com. And Current Geek Weekly appears right here on Twit every Friday night. So people should be checking that out if they're not already.
And Aileen is also not a stranger to the wonderful world of podcasting. You do a podcast based around toys.
I do. It's toybreak.com. You can check us out every week. We do everything in the wonderful world of toys, including but not limited to designer vinyl, action figures, collectibles, plush, how-tos, event coverage, pretty much anything you can think of revolving around toys.
Nice. Now, let's kick off the show. Now, one of the things that I've noticed recently, and you know, I'm sure Scott's noticed this too because you do a movie podcast, is that there have been a lot of recent attempts to basically translate existing, pre-existing material, whether it's an old TV show, an old TV series, or even an older movie. For example, Clash of the Titans, The A-Team, and they're just kind of regurgitating them again for the big screen. Now, do you consider this to be something that is a positive trend? Because I just watched The Losers, which was an adaptation of a comic book by Vertigo DC, and I can honestly admit I kind of slept through the movie. It was very uninteresting, very dull, not at all what I was expecting. And I've heard really bad things about the Liam Neeson Clash of the Titans, and now they have Liam Neeson as, of course, George Peppard's character in the A-Team upcoming. I'm really worried about, like, is it because Hollywood's run out of ideas, or are we just totally in a phase where everyone's nostalgic for something that existed 20 years ago?
Well, the movie podcast I do is called Film Sack, and the whole goal of that show is to review old junk. So, like, one of the old movies we did see recently was the original Clash of the Titans, so I was pretty excited to see the new one and do this kind of comparison thing. This regurgitation is a double-edged sword, because I think occasionally it works. I'm going to throw out one that I think worked really well, and it's a little embarrassing that I think it's as good as it was, and people can hate me if they want. I don't care. I liked it. I loved the Beverly Hillbillies movie a few years back, probably 10, 12 years back.
A few years.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It captured the spirit of the old show, the actors they chose to play these people. Lily Tomlin was awesome. Ernest, what's his name, that died a few years back. Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Gets Scared,
all the other Ernest movies.
He played Jed Clampett, and he was awesome. There were all kinds of great character actors that ended up in this movie, and it should have been total crap. And it ended up being kind of fun. Like, I had a really, really good time with it. So it was then that I decided, if they can do these right and they're true to the spirit of the originals, then I'm okay with this. So the A-Team's an unknown quantity, but I'm super nervous about it because I think that they'll either completely blow that or it'll come off as mediocre. You mentioned The Losers, which is a really good comic book, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I'm hearing terrible things about that adaptation. And I felt like Clash of the Titans, outside of Liam Neeson, who always brings the stuff, he's always good. Outside of his performance, it was flat and boring and a spectacle, but boring. And so I'm torn on this. I just think in the hands of the right people, you can make great movies, because there's things like Dark Knight and there's things like Kick-Ass, which you really liked.
Oh, I love that movie. I've seen it 3 times. I will watch it a 4th time before I buy it on Blu-ray or DVD when it ships.
See, and there's a comic book adaptation that should have been crap, but instead they totally pulled it off. So we know it can be done if the right people are doing it. And so I'm not even saying that the right people are doing A-Team, and I certainly don't believe the right people did Clash of the Titans, but I think that there's some possibilities, so who knows? I mean, I'm always willing to go and see and figure out if I wasted $8 or not.
Well, I mean, I remember Liam Neeson doing Krull, and that was a pretty bad movie.
Yeah, it was old, too.
Yes, and that was when he was younger. Maybe he just didn't know better. Well, Aileen, I mean, you're into toys, so they did adaptations of Transformers, G.I. Joe. And, okay, the first Transformers I liked. The second one really, really was not so hot. And G.I. Joe, I thought, was a total waste of money. Do you think that from your perspective, do you think the whole kind of idea of mining, you know, our childhood to present us with new and exciting ways to blow $12 at the local Cineplex a good idea?
I don't think it's a good idea, but I think it's all that Hollywood has right now. And also the toy companies. I mean, Hasbro and Mattel want to sell you more toys and molds that they already have. I know that sounds trite coming from me because I work in the toy industry, but it's kind of true. So the more marketing they can get out to sell their properties, the better. It's all about the merchandising because, as we all know, movies at the box office don't necessarily make a lot of money for the people who make the movies. It's all about the merchandising and the DVD sales.
So, Aileen, as a toy fan, obviously you're a huge toy person. And by the way, I wish that was you. I'd see that stuff behind you. I just want to go there and touch all those things.
I have much more. Please come by.
Sure. And I love your site, by the way. I'm a big fan for a while. But what I wanted to say was, so Transformers, utter poop in my opinion. Could have been great, though. Giant robots fighting. There's nothing wrong with this. We talked about this a little bit the other night, too, with Roger. But I want to know from you, who's in the industry and knows this stuff from the ground up, why is it that they can, I mean, first of all, what was your opinion of Transformers? I'd like to get that out of the way before I make an assumption. Did you like it or hate it?
I hated Transformers, and I actually hated Transformers 2 even more, which I didn't think was possible.
Me too.
I did.
Well, my main point, and I agree with that 100%. That's exactly how I felt. My biggest problem is there's too many people. Let's get rid of the people. Let's just have giant robots because that's what the cartoon was. And so I guess my question is, when they mine these, our old memories, and arguably they've been doing this for decades. They've been doing it with our superheroes from comics. Now they're starting to mine into our childhood toys and memories. And they do it with video games. They make movies based on video games. What do they have to do it right? So if the next toy that they go after is, I don't know, Stretch Armstrong the movie. It seems like a terrible idea, but let's say
that
they did
that.
That would
be pretty interesting.
What would they have to do to make it not another nightmare like Transformers, in your opinion?
That's a very good question. I know they're making, I think it's Battleship the movie, and I believe they're making one off Risk.
Yeah.
Risk?
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Isn't that just a war movie?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with that. I think I honestly don't think you can make a great movie based off of a toy license that already exists. Otherwise, I mean, maybe you could make an animated straight to DVD or something like that, but toys seem to be the byproduct of a good movie. You know, you go see the movie and then you want to have a little piece of it. So I don't think it's even possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I wonder, though, if the Risk movie isn't about me at age 12 in the basement with my friends, then I don't want to see it. Because what else is there? It's not, the movie's not going to have anything to do with Risk. It's not like, let's move our pieces to this corner of this fake country that doesn't exist and whatever. I just cannot see that working, nor Battleship. Battleship is just going to be a naval war movie. Is that all they're going to do? Because that's crazy to me.
It's, you know, if they did Battleship, really, it would end up being Midway. I mean, that's what it was. Battle of Midway. They already shot it. It was great. And then if they've done, you know, this is the thing. During the 50s and 60s, there were a lot of war movies that kind of rolled out. And they did a pretty good job because a lot of those people that were involved or experienced that conflict were still alive to give the directors like, well, you don't want to do that because that would be unrealistic. Now you do things where you have like Pearl Harbor with Matt Damon. And that was a boring movie. I literally cannot watch. Like halfway through, I just turned it off.
Was that Matt Damon? No, that was the other guy.
Was it Matt Damon? No.
Affleck, Ben Affleck.
Oh, Ben Affleck. Whatever. They're like related, aren't they? Ben Damon, Matt Affleck. Ben Damon.
Yeah, exactly.
Side note, I actually used to watch Ben Affleck back when he used to do The Voyage of the Mimi because I used to watch I used to watch PBS all the time, and I find it so funny that it was this little goofy little kid that was aboard his grandfather's ship sailing off the coast of New England, and now he's like, you know, has a movie career and has had a relationship with Jennifer. Oh, crap. What's her last name?
Garner.
Jennifer Garner and J-Lo, right? Wasn't he also involved? Yeah, yeah. Or is that just a movie? I can't tell. These days, movies and real life seem to blur, and it's very disturbing. Well, it's funny because you brought up merchandising, and I've noticed that, you know, there's been a very, you know, heavy attempt to kind of, I'm not sure if it's consciously, but to kind of merchandise things that people wouldn't normally think of turning into a TV show or a movie based on products or commercials. Case in point, NBC tried to do a series based on those Geico cavemen. Remember that one? It lasted for like 2 episodes. And I'm not, and it goes back to Aileen's point. It's like, is it because that's all they have? They just don't run out of good ideas? Are they going to start doing like, let's do a Dr. Pepper show and we'll surround a, you know, we'll be surrounding a character named Dr. Pepper who happens to give good out, you know, gives out good advice with a can of soda. I don't know. It's kind of a downer because you think of all these great stories that are floating around that aren't being used because they think it's more lucrative to basically take something that people already know.
Aren't they doing a Gilligan's Island movie? I'm pretty sure there's one coming.
what would they do?
Makes you happy?
I mean, it's kind of like in this day, isn't that Lost really? Isn't that what Lost is? It's just if you crossed Gilligan's Island with you know, your modern day kind of evening drama. What do you mean no? Why not? Just because you don't have a big heavy set guy going around with his hands pretending to strangle the skinnier guy?
You just boiled down Gilligan's Island in one sentence. That's awesome.
I don't even have words for you, Roger.
All right, well, look at this. I got to tell you guys, this is terrible. This sounds awful, and I can't wait to see it. So the backstory on it is this. Gilligan originally was going to be Michael Cera. Makes
what?
Sense.
Yeah,
shifted to the last second to be Zach Braff. So Zach Braff is going to be Gilligan.
From
let's see.
Scrubs?
Yeah, from Scrubs, that guy. There's going to be somebody named Jonas Grumby, who's being played by Jack Black, a petty officer who, like Sergeant Bilko, always has a scheme working. Whatever. Gilligan constantly falls in the water. There's a whole bunch of stuff here about this movie. The Howls, they're talking about James Spader and Sarah Jessica Parker. This may be a big joke, but...
What? James Spader?
Yeah.
What was the last thing he did?
That show, Boston Legal, I think.
Was it? Oh, that's right, huh? Because the last thing I remember... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, your argument here tonight about whether this stuff should be made or not is a lot like saying, should we have sequels? Should we have movies based on toys? Should we have any of these things? And I think the answer is, what are people willing to see? How much nostalgia do they have for a certain project? How much did I love the A-Team? And how much do I want to see that realized in a new, you know, with a new cast and a two-hour format and everything kind of taken to some new level? I mean, I'll admit, I was the first person to be super excited about Transformers. I really wanted that to be good because I was a big fan of the comics or the cartoons and even the comics that came later. And I thought that stuff would just be great on a big screen. We had the technology to do it big. I thought even at the time, I thought Michael Bay with his, you know, propensity towards action could come to it with a different take and really make it big and loud and awesome. And instead I got Shia LaBeouf and that dumb girl and I'm not interested in those people. So
all right.
It's sad, is all I'm saying. Sad state of affairs.
Well, you know what's another affair I need to get a handle on is our sponsor for today's East Meets West, Carbonite. They're the leader in online backup, and here are a few things you need to know about Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your files automatically whenever you connect to the internet. Your photos, music, emails, files, anything will back up. It's easy to use, no extra hardware or cables required. You can use Carbonite to recover lost files, restore previous versions of files, or to transfer files from one computer to another. Now, you can access your backup files at carbonite.com, the website, from any computer or via their iPhone app. So if you have an iPhone and you want an app, you got it. It's secure. That means you don't have to worry about anyone stealing your information, hacking their way in, and you know, you can leave it up there with a clear and easy mind. Offsite means your files are safe from theft, fires, floods, and other disasters. And of course, as I said, because it's secure, your files are encrypted before they leave the computer. You can even manage your own encryption key if you want, and it's affordable. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac is less than $5 a month or $55 a year. One flat rate. Carbonite is one of the greatest ways of getting everything back in case you do happen to have a disaster on your machine. So try Carbonite for free or go to Carbonite.com and enter the offer code EAST. That's EAST. No credit card required for the free trial. And remember, check out Carbonite.com. They're a sponsor of the show and they've been supporting us, so support them. All right, guys, switching track. Now, I recently, just actually like 2 hours ago, I tweeted a story from the Times Online where it said that Stephen Hawking, the great physicist that we all know and love, suggested that humans try not to contact advanced alien species because he feels that it would be detrimental based on humans, human history, where one advanced civilization met with perhaps a less advanced civilization and a lot of rape, pillaging, and exploitation of resources and people occurred. And he believes that the same thing could happen if we invite, a much more advanced spacefaring race to our shores. Do you agree with that?
Ooh. Well, he says this specifically. He says or suggested that the extraterrestrials are almost certainly to exist, but that instead of seeking them out, humanity should do all that it can, all in its power, to avoid contact with these extraterrestrials. Sounds like a pretty hardcore warning.
Does he know something we don't?
Well, that's what I would say. I would remind people that I don't think Stephen Hawking has had any visitations or abductions that I know of. The man is brilliant. I absolutely love his books. I love reading about him, hearing about him, seeing documentaries about him. It's an interesting theory. I mean, the idea that these other civilizations are so advanced and maybe partially advanced because they've plundered their way through
the cosmos,
the technologies. Yeah, they've kind of Borged their way through planets or something, and we are next sort of idea, I guess, has some as much merit as saying that there's nothing but, you know, Star Trek like Federation like aliens that are just happy to come help you out and be awesome. So I feel
and
like
they also
there's,
happen to look like humans with two legs, two arms, their heads. Right at the top, except for a couple of facial mutilations, they all kind of speak English, seem to eat the same foods, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Sit in chairs.
I don't know. I'd love to get a girl's perspective on this. I'm not sure what that would have to do with like genders or stuff, but I feel like this is up my alley too much. It's like too much sci-fi is on the brain, and so my head wants to go, ooh, what if Stephen Hawking's right in there? These insidious aliens, and we just should be avoiding them. They're not sending out satellites that bump into them, or, you know, we shouldn't have the Hubble telescope checking all this stuff out because one of these days it's going to turn a little bit and see a big green eyeball and that'll be the end of us. So I want to know what she thinks.
All right, Aileen, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I love that you made Borg into an adverb. That was amazing.
Borging through the universe, yep.
Yes, that was two thumbs up for that.
Thank you.
I mean, I've got pretty much the same amount of sci-fi on the brain, so I can see the positive and negatives of what Stephen Hawking's saying, but I think it's more a matter of, are humans ready to deal with positive or negative consequences, whatever they are? I mean, if we contact another species or, you know, alien race or whatever, there's going to be both positive and negatives regardless, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
You'd think Even if it's like V, Roger, you were talking about V the other day.
Yes,
everybody's initial reaction on V is to go, and they're immediately caught in this thing. Do we accept these benevolent, you know,
overseers,
beings that are coming? They say they're going to help us. Or do we constantly worry? And then are we going to be full on conspiracy? And this won't be any different than any other cultural change or phenomenon. It's just that when it happens, you know, we're going to have to make that choice, unless this is a race that's just going to come and just smear us off the planet and then, you know, take it for all it's worth.
Turn us into, you know, walking, breathing incubation chambers for their young.
Oh my gosh.
It's kind of funny. The first thing I noticed when you were talking about V is when I watch a show, it's like, why do the ships look like giant bicycle seats? But aside from that point, I would be freaked out. I would not, you know, I think humans have a healthy amount of skepticism, unless, you know, maybe you've been sitting out in the sun too long. And I think people's natural reactions is it's cool, it's exciting, but you know, you also want to be a little, you know, cautious, because you know the last thing you want to do is kind of open the door and have our intergalactic overseers, you know, take us in one, you know, swipe. I don't know. I mean, I understand. I mean, part of the issue is we've already done it in our frequent radio broadcasts and television broadcasts, you know, spanning outside the solar system. And of course, we sent probes, Voyager, Pioneer, ones with the little plaque that show where we are. Smart idea. And we also, you know, the Voyagers, we sent the Golden Record, which has, you know, all our audio, you know, our voices, us saying hi, the various sounds of our planet. And then we also sent a message from Arecibo in Puerto Rico from the giant radio telescope into a section of the universe. I don't know. It's
Which one has the naked dude with the afro and the mustache? What didn't we send that on one of Voyager?
Yeah, there was a naked guy. I don't think he had a fro or a mustache.
I swear he's got a mustache and an afro. Am I wrong about that?
But he should.
I think you're thinking of Adult Swim.
Oh. All right. I may have that wrong, but it seemed like you did. It seemed like a bad representation of the average human being is all I'm saying.
Well, you know, it'd be a very interesting point. I mean, okay, suppose an advanced civilization comes and meets us. Do you think we would behave in the same way that, say, the various groups and civilizations that first met the Portuguese or the Dutch or the English, where they basically formed alliances with them in order to take advantage of their neighbor? One of the things that the English were very good at was essentially sowing kind of rivalries where they would select, say, one tribe over another as a favored group of people. And using that connection, they would allow that tribe or whatever to take advantage of a neighboring one while getting more benefits in return, land, resources, claims to different things. I mean, would you think that people as a human race, as the entire planet, bond together, or whether we just kind of break apart in our own petty, selfish, you know, reasons so we could, you know, garner an advantage over everyone else? Like, you think so? You think that people would change?
I feel like that's true. We watched Star Trek First Contact the other day, and I was reminded that the way that whole thing goes down, if anyone doesn't remember, they have to go back in time and convince this dude to make sure he does his first warp flight so the Vulcans can notice it and decide to turn around and come back to Earth and give us first contact, which changes humanity forever. Suddenly, the pursuit is no longer about money or riches or destruction. The pursuit is about exploration and learning and bettering ourselves. I would love that to be true. I'm a huge Star Trek fan for that reason. That optimism is great, but I have a cynical sort of bet going that if this happened, we'd split. Everybody wouldn't know what to do. Everybody would guard their own self-interests, and both nationally and individually, people would really square off into whatever their ideologies are. I think it's going to be banana time for a while. Maybe after all that dust clears, we have a clearer head moving forward, but it seems like it'll be nuts if that happens to me.
What do you think, Aileen?
I want to play devil's advocate, but I can't. I agree. I think people would kind of end up being out for themselves, and personal bunker sales would rise, and it would be chaos.
Personal bunker sales. Wow. That hasn't happened since the 50s. You know, when people were shoveling out dirt in their backyard to make room for a bomb shelter. You know, of course, you know.
Tell me that wouldn't happen.
I think it would. Yeah. I think people would go crazy. That's the first thing Roger would do, dude, is you would run out to Walmart, get a prefab bunker, and live in that thing. That's what you would do.
Prefab bunker? Where would you find that?
I don't know.
Bunkers by then are happen. It's probably made in China. Little holes in the bottom. Oh, no, water's coming in. Bunker. You know, I don't know. It's easy to play off the kind of cynicism of humanity. But one of the standard tropes that is often played out in sci-fi and actually in most fiction is that the threat of an external entity or force that would subjugate everyone would rally. For example, Independence Day. That was where you saw quote unquote, all of humanity rise up and against, you know, the giant flying saucers that were demolishing great landmarks in LA and Seattle and Washington, D.C. Well, they even had a scene where the Palestinians or the Arab pilots, you know, cooperated with the Israeli pilots to bring down the great menace from the sky. You don't, you don't think, I don't know. I mean,
if that movie's any indicator, we're all set to go. I mean, there's, I'm going to say something the chat, some of the chat room may not agree with. I think Independence Day is a terrible, terrible film. I can't stand that movie.
Because it's not so because impossible?
Of this. Well, yeah, but partially that, but also, I mean, everything about it is impossible. I'm Will Smith, and I just happened upon the president's wife, who's the only person alive, and this whole, it's that kind of stuff just drove me up a wall and around the corner. But all of that aside, part of our problem is we, for an alien encounter and for our reaction to it, all we have to go from is science fiction and books, comic books, TV, and movies. That's all we have. So we have nothing else to go on. So I feel like humans faced with a very real thing in their face like this aren't going to roll back and go, we're going to rally together, and pretty soon all those Arabs and the Israelis are going to be, you know, flying.
Bonding.
So, yeah, it's not going to, that stuff ain't going to happen. What will probably happen is some cool heads will try to prevail. I don't think that everyone's going to go nuts. I mean, my goal would be, no, everyone calm down. Let's talk about this. Let's figure it out. If it's a real threat and they're trying to wipe us out, what are we going to do to rally to fight them? And I just feel like some people are going to say, yeah, you guys rally to fight them. We got we're okay up here in Siberia. The Russians will prevail. You know, I don't know. I don't feel good about it. The whole thing scares the crap out of me, to be honest.
Aileen, do you share Scott's sentiments that you should be scared out of your wits when they come?
I unfortunately do. I mean, the whole point of any war is to get people together, you know, to choose a side. And as we've seen throughout history, even just in the last century, you know, World War One, World War Two, it was very easy to bond people together. Now with the forget that word.
With the spread.
The spread of news and the availability of, you know, internet and communications throughout the world, it's so much harder to get bigger, like, it's easier to get groups together, but it's also harder because everybody can easily segment off into their own little niche. So I think that's what would end up happening.
I don't know. I agree. I mean, do you think in this day and age that it's easier for people to kind of relocate and move in with people who are like-minded, like themselves? Not, you know, not necessarily of the same background, but they share the same sentiment. For example, people who are more liberal and kind of lean toward the arts tend to group or live in areas where those types of sentiment is, that kind of sentiment is fostered. And people say a little more conservative or perhaps say like ranching or farming are going to group together just out of necessity. What I've noticed is that, you know, people love to segment themselves into kind of, you know, groups, subgroups. So even within a given population, you know, you're going to have some sort of endless variation of the way people kind of form up. But, you know, when disaster strikes, you know, during the 89 earthquake up here, the Loma Prieta earthquake up here in the Bay Area, there are a lot of people that kind of who didn't know each other but got together to help out. I mean, when the freeway collapsed upon itself, there were a lot of people who ran out of their homes trying to help complete strangers who were literally being crushed in their cars. And I think if the threat is serious enough and that immediate, people will kind of say, put aside their differences and help out. I mean,
I totally agree. If it's the key there is how immediate is the threat. If it's happening right now, I'm going to run out and help my neighbors. If it comes and there's a giant ship and they say, we are here in peace, maybe we're not sure what to do with you yet. And then everybody's immediate reaction is going to be, okay, how can we rally around and fight this menace? But after a couple of weeks go by, people kind of, it's kind of the post 9/11 thing because everybody rallied on that day like crazy. You know, everybody's like, come on, we're all united. And then we just kind of went blah and look at us now. We're a big old mess. So that's my worry is that time will pass.
So you think the ultimate strategy of any alien invasion is to basically keep it, draw it out as long as possible, and then we'll be our own worst enemies.
I don't know. I'm just saying if it's not immediate, or if it is immediate, then we'll be really proud of ourselves helping each other. That's what people do, is we will do that. But it's when time passes and people start going, well, how do we benefit from this? Or why do we care what China thinks? Or, you know, we just start doing that thing, and that's where we get ugly. That's where it gets bad.
Yeah, I know. Humanity is a very, very complex and at the same time a very kind of shallow creature, I shall say. It's funny. I mean, because one of the big things about global warming is that people don't take it, you know, whether you believe it or not. One of the issues is that because it's not immediate, it's not in your face. It's not like you wake up one day and it's scorching like 300 degrees and you can't go outside. It's so gradual that people kind of just ignore it, or just like, hey, you know, I don't believe it's not happening. It's snowing outside. I don't see giant, volcanoes or blocks of lava erupting on the ground because it's so hot. Even though that wouldn't happen because of increased temperatures, but I just made that up, but that's okay. I mean, it's things like that. I mean, things like extinction. I mean, the recent, or at least trying to put a moratorium on fishing of bluefin tuna from Mediterranean fleets was kind of kiboshed because Japan wanted their fish, and a lot of the countries that do sell Japan their fish wanted to be able to make money off that, in spite of the fact that they could very well drive the species into extinction. And because it's not immediate, you know, people are like, well, you know, there's still fish in the sea. You know, I got one today and I'll probably get one next week. People don't look long-term enough, I guess. Maybe it's because we have such limited view of time. We look at things in a very kind of compressed manner. We don't think 50 or 100 years down. We think, you know, a couple of years, maybe 5. You know, if you're really forward-looking, you look down at 10 years. But my God, so much can happen in 10 years.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. If there was one fish left, we'd be freaking out. Everybody would be struggling to save the final fish. Maybe the fish is full of eggs. Maybe it's going to have babies. We can reborn this fish. And then, you know, 6 months later, how soon can we start fishing again? So we just tend to go, bleh.
I hear some snickering from you, Aileen.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, what you just said, you know, so much can change in 5 to 10 years. It's hard. Like, how can you plan that far with the way technology advances and just doubling up on itself like it has recently? What are we supposed to expect?
Nothing.
No fish.
Aliens. Just aliens and no fish. Yeah.
Alien fish. They've come to reclaim their children and punish us for our sins.
Yeah. When they get here and see how few are left, they're going to be pissed.
All right.
And we're not taking into account the aliens' intentions in this huge alien invasion or visit to Earth.
Yeah, what would the aliens want? Our resources? Our women? Our movies?
Our movies about women? I don't know.
That was a big theme in the 50s, wasn't it? They would take off with the women.
There was an entire film in 1953 titled Mars Needs Women, which is a real treat if you have a chance to see it.
They had Yvonne Craig, who would later star as Barbara Gordon / Batgirl in the Adam West Batman series. I know that because I've watched it.
And I just saw her at Anaheim Comic Con.
Hey. How is she doing? How is Yvonne Craig doing after 40 years?
I did not talk to her, but she looks very well.
Good. She's all working right, on her new Yvonne Craig action figure line. Brilliant.
Yeah, they probably are. It's probably something out there, and I don't want to look for it. I think we've come to the end of our show. I think I've basically cooked the goose and stuck a fork in it and then a knife. I'd like to thank Scott and Aileen for joining me today because Tom's out in wonderful Hawaii. Scott, please tell everyone where they can find you and the podcast you do with Tom.
Well, they want to find that podcast, both Forecast and Current Geek. The best place to go is frogpants.com. That's the entire network of shows. There's like 8 or 9 up there now. I don't even know the actual number, but there's something there for everybody. So go check it out. And they can always follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/extralife. And thanks for having me on. I had a blast.
Thank you. And Aileen, what would you like to flog What would you like to flog on the show?
Well, you can catch me and my cohorts every week at toybreak.com for all the new toy news and all that good stuff. We have toybrief.com also will take you to our YouTube channel. We have little short stuff, lots of Legos and things like that that we play with. And everybody should go watch or listen to Current Geek with Tom and Scott because it's an awesome, awesome podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/spookyamd. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been awesome.
That was great. Thank you both for joining me on the show. And until next time, hopefully Tom will be back and perhaps slightly tanned or not, but with macadamia nuts. And that's it for this episode of East Meets West.